This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And Steve was, you know...
He was here.
Yeah, he was here, and he is recovering nicely.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, we got a message from Alan Van Padge down there in Australia. He says he's going to get to Air Venture next year if he has to swim.
Swim, yeah, well...
All right, Alan.
Yep, that's a challenge.
We'll see you here. We'll have to put you on the radio, buddy.
We'll put a little radio collar on you so we can track your progress.
And we'll interview you while you're swimming over.
Right. Anyway, we're joined by another EAA Radio great, Mike Morgan.
You're so kind.
Or Stuck Mike, as we like to call him.
This is the first time I've gotten a chance to appear on Hot Start this year.
Well, you've lowered your standards, haven't you?
I am delighted to be here, and you guys know that I am a big fan. I'm perhaps a bigger fan, though, of the space program in the 60s and 70s.
Yep, yep.
And so in a happy coincidence of opportunity and responsibility...
I love how he phrased that.
Wow.
I attended on Friday a press conference that was set up with a number of the folks from the Apollo program, astronauts and a flight controller. And while there's been a lot of our airtime devoted to these folks, 2 hours last night with the Theater in the Woods salute to Apollo.
And it was packed.
It was packed and it was great. It was great. It was a little less buttoned up at a press conference that happened yesterday afternoon. So I wanted to share some little audio mementos from that press conference because they, they reflect yet another perspective on what these guys' experiences are.
Okay.
So the first memento in my box here is a conversation with, or really just an answer of a question from astronaut Jim Lovell, commander of Apollo 13 and command module pilot on Apollo 8, on how he met Paul Poberesny.
Well, actually, I had met Paul Poberesny years before he had this. I was in the space program, and my family is from Milwaukee, my wife's family, and it was Christmas time, and I had taken the T-38 up and dropped it into Mitchell Field, and had it there for the weekend, and the night I was going to fly back to Florida, it was nighttime. It had rained sometime before that, but the plane was sitting outside on the tarmac. And I was getting in the airplane, all squared away, and when a man came up and looked at me, he says, you're not really going to fly this, are you? And I said, yes, I'm going to fly this back to Florida. He says, have you run your hand over the wing? I said, no. And so I did, and it was full of clear ice. And I don't think you ought to take this airplane. And I said, I agree with you 100%. It was Paul Poberesny. And he said, look it. He was an officer here with the command of the Air Force, one of the squadrons here. He said, I'll pull this airplane out of the hangar. Then tomorrow morning, it should be dry, and you can come out and sell it, fly it. So. That's what happened. That was the first time I had him. I've been up here for years and years. I've been a member for a long, long time. And I can recall one time was a very special time. We had 15 astronauts here for one of the big Theater in the Woods soirees. So it's always been a nice time coming up here. And this is the first time in a couple of years that I've been here. But when I drove up, I saw so many cars, so many airplanes, that I thought this must be a bonus year, and I guess it is.
So that was Captain Jim Lovell from the Apollo program talking about when he met Paul Poberesny.
Wow, small world.
It is.
Literally.
Yeah.
Wow. And you know what? It goes to prove that pilots learn from everybody. So it's smart ones do.
Yeah,
anyway.
If they're humble enough to do so, yeah.
Right.
Paul.
And
Paul.
These guys are all humble. I mean, you know they've got egos.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
But they're all humble enough to appreciate the experiences that they've had. The next audio memento from yesterday's Apollo Heroes press conference is Flight Controller Gene Kranz, who was asked a question about the fact that he's the failure is not an option guy, right?
Right, right.
So he was asked a question about a funding effort that's now underway to restore the old Mission Control Center in the Johnson Space Center in Houston. We've all seen the pictures from the back with the big screens in the front and all the oldie-timey computers and monitors. Well, so there's an effort to restore that, and Kranz believes that's really important.
The location where virtually all of the early American space records were established The Mercury program taught us where we learned the technologies of space. We learned to rendezvous, dock, perform extravehicular operations. We moved into Apollo, and we're in the consoles January 27, 1967, preparing for our first Apollo launch. And we had this horrible launch pad fire. We recovered from that. We wrote a lot of words into our vocabulary, but that day we wrote tough and competent. We'll never again shirk from our responsibility because we're ever accountable for what we do or what we fail to do. We will be perfect, competent. We'll never take anything for granted. So there's an awful lot of history in that room, and you walk into that room. Right now, it's basically a disaster area. It had been abandoned for the best part of two decades. The carpeting is held together with duct tape. People have been in the room. They've stolen the light bulbs out of the instrument, out of the communications panels in there. You go back in the viewing room, they've actually removed pieces from the fabric back there. And this is not the way you treat a major historical landmark. This is where Americans first heard the words, Houston, Tranquility Base, here the Eagles landed. We also heard the words, Houston, we got a problem. We also saw this marvelous picture coming from Apollo 8, Earthrise. So this has a meaning. To me, it's a leadership laboratory. Every person has a reason for it being. That is where we take young pups, 25, 26, 27 years old, and give them incredible responsibilities and expect them to deliver, and they have. So to me, this is a leadership laboratory.
That was Gene Kranz, Apollo flight controller, talking about the importance of restoring the Mission Control Center in which so many important things happened.
You know, I didn't even know that room still existed. I assumed that it had been refurbed and as they moved on in the space program and used for other things.
Well, the weird thing sounds to me like it's been a tourist. I mean, it's been a stop on the tour.
No, I took the tour. They don't go to that control room.
Okay. Well, apparently it's looking pretty shabby. The next audio nugget from the press conference with the Apollo legends yesterday is Jim Lovell was asked about his views on what the folks in the commercial space business of today have set about to do.
Well, in the beginning, Gene Cernan and Neil Armstrong and myself were sort of against commercial because we really looked at it that it was really not commercial. Commercial means that... that you have an idea, you get a group of people together, you invest in that idea, you start to build infrastructure, you build a product, and then you sell that product, and then you hope to make a profit out of that product. And this was not the case of the initial commercial. They're wedded, as has been said before, to NASA. It's semi-commercial. NASA provides a lot of the money and the infrastructure and the assets to make commercial positive. So maybe the combination will be the way to go in the future, but I kind of think that programs like, you know, expanding, going to Mars or another international space station for us, or just keeping this one up, is really more in the realm of governments rather than it is in commercial.
So it's an interesting take on how the commercial space business really should kind of stay away from the things the government's supposed to do.
Well, commercial endeavors in the history of the human race have not necessarily taken everything into account. We have enough space junk up there now. Let's not start throwing things out the window.
Yeah. So the last thing we'll listen to is again, flight controller Gene Kranz, who is hopeful for the future and the young people who may be looking at, aviation aerospace as a place to get excited about. But he's got a caution.
You know, back in the 60s, America was in motion. You had the Peace Corps, you had the environmental movement, you had the space program, massive investments in technology and the Department of Defense, NASA, Department of Transportation. So basically, people were out of their couches. They weren't watching TV, and they didn't have all the NFL and football games and basketball that everybody's become a slave to. Take a look at what our kids are doing today. The good thing about Oshkosh, I don't see a bunch of kids running around. with their face in that thing. They know what's out there. Somewhere along the line, we got to create the Oshkosh environment in our larger world. If we want to move in the future, we got to start with the kids. And this is the right place to start with the kids.
I so agree with that sentiment.
He's spot on.
Yeah, that, if you go to Orlando, they've got a clip of him saying, back in the 60s, we did stuff. We went outside and we did stuff. He says, we need to do more stuff. And I so agree with that.
Yeah, and it's nice for him to give props to Oshkosh, to Young Eagles, to mm-hmm. all the things that are here that encourage kids to experience in the moment all that aviation can represent.
I think, though, you got to temper that with the fact that if you look at the Blue Origins and the SpaceXs and all the other companies, it's amazing what they are doing. The people that can do it are out there. We just got to enable them, empower them, and get them off the couch.
We got to find them and encourage them. They need the help, all the help that they can get.
Well, thanks for having me in today. It's nice to visit with you.
Thanks for coming. Mike, you're so professional, it's going to keep us right on the clock. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is
EAA Radio.